know, there's a lot of things to talk about with General Spitznadek. He's adjutant general for the state of North Dakota, not the least of which is the debate that's going on in Washington. But what started this conversation, or us having an interest in this, was North Dakota has a law. They put it in front of the voters, and the voters voted to ban same-sex marriage. So that's there. That was a clear directive from the citizens of North Dakota. You know, so you've got states, Texas and Mississippi, who have announced that they will not give benefits to members of the military that are in the National Guard in those states that want to receive benefits that were married legally in states that allow same-sex marriage. And, of course, there is no ban on gays in the military anymore. So you've got worlds colliding here. And I told Amy, I said, let's give Spry a call and find out if this has come across his desk yet, or how they're going to deal with it in North Dakota. General Spitznadek, good to have you on News and Views.
Good morning, Joel. How are you today?
Good. I'm doing well. I don't have as heavy of issues as you have facing you, but I did find this interesting, because it seems to me that somebody could easily push this issue upon you. So what stance is the North Dakota National Guard going to take?
Well, when this whole issue came up here in just the last several days in Texas, as you mentioned, I think that Texas was the first state to bring the issue out, we began to research North Dakota law and our state's constitution, and we're still in the process of doing that because, to my knowledge, what we have is a little different than the other states, and we need to make sure what we do in North Dakota is right for our people. The whole issue, of course, stems around what is now federal law as a result of a Supreme Court case that just simply says that the federal government will extend the same benefits to all military spouses, regardless of what their sexual orientation may be. So, you know, what we have is a federal entitlement to, you know, young men and women that have joined the nation's military in North Dakota, obviously, and the North Dakota National Guard. And the processing of any of those entitlements that would be done by federal employees, not through the state system. Now, you know, what it's also clear is that if benefits are, you know, processed in North Dakota for people that fall in this category, that does not recognize by state law what their marital situation is. That's clear, actually, in the state's constitution, what we recognize as marriage. But the fact is, it's an entitlement that you know, men and women have earned through their volunteer decision to join the military. So we've not been faced with the question of the situation, but, you know, we are obviously very much aware of it, and we want to make sure we do what's right for our people that are serving their nation in the state of North Dakota. And for years, you know, we have always made it clear that we will treat everyone who's a member of our organization with, you know, dignity and respect, regardless of what their, you know, their age may be, their sex may be, their religion may be. The bottom line, we want to treat everyone fairly and, as I said, with dignity and respect.
So what I think I heard you just say was they're going to get the benefits in North Dakota.
Well, they will. And if we find out that there is a prohibition by state law, state constitution, from us processing those benefits, to those federal benefits to our people, they certainly would be able to go to the Minot Air Force Base or the Grand Forks Air Force Base and go through that processing as well. We have no control over what benefits accrue on the federal side of our organization.
I get it.
It's federal law that dictates, and that's, you know, that's really what we need to be aware of.
And so, you know, has the Department of Defense spoke to the National Guard units? Because you guys talk to each other. There's 50 of you across the nation. Is that the message they're sending Texas and Mississippi and others who have chose to kind of pick this fight?
Well, there are actually 54 of us, Joel, the 50 states plus
Puerto Rico,
Columbia,
yep.
Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, and Guam. But no, we've not had a conversation up to this point. The only communication that I'm aware of is that after the Supreme Court decision, and there was a statement by the Secretary of Defense, Secretary Hagel, that just clearly said the Department of Defense intends to make you know, the same benefits available to all military spouses, you know, regardless of what their sexual orientation may be. And that was, you know, what was passed on, you know, through the system to, you know, all of the adjutants general and, you know, all the National Guard, as well as the active component across the country.
Okay.
And in North Dakota, you know, this has not come up as an issue, but you know, when it was brought to our attention, what was taking place in Texas, we, you know, certainly wanted to take a look at it and see how that, you know, may apply in North Dakota.
Okay. General, also want to talk to you about the debate that's being held in the halls of Congress right now, whether or not we end up in another conflict. You know, I know the scope. I've read the resolution that was passed by the committee in the Senate. You know, they keep using words like no boots on the ground. You know, limited strike, a certain time frame. You know, I know that your job is to follow orders and you know, lead and to take those, you know, orders and put those into an action. I don't know if you can give an opinion on this. So I give you a full disclaimer to tell me, Joel, I can't go there. But how do you fight a war when you're being told exactly what you can do? I mean, because we're about to get in a fight here.
Well, you're right in that, you know, I'm not in a position to, you know, to formulate an opinion and express it. But what I will tell you is, you know, the most important part of my job is taking care of our people, our soldiers, our airmen, their families. And part of what that means is to train them and prepare them for whatever mission, wherever it may occur, is given to us. You know, we're part of our nation's defense. And when a decision is made by the president, Congress, whomever, that requires our soldiers or our airmen to be a part of the mission, I want to make sure that they're fully trained so that they will, you know, not only be successful, but more importantly, be safe. So, you know, that's what I do on a day-to-day basis, is to ensure that our people are prepared for whatever we're asked to do. Now, as the situation in Syria moves forward, if it turns out that, you know, we are called upon to carry out a mission, you know, our folks will be ready, and we'll do you know, what we, you know, what is asked of us, what is, you know, assigned to us. The fact is, everyone in the military today is a volunteer, and in North Dakota, more than 70% of our National Guard members joined the National Guard since 9/11, since we became a nation at war. So the young men and women in uniform today, you know, across the country, know full well that they may be called upon to be a part of our nation's defense in a war situation somewhere in the world. If we go into Syria, you know, we'll be ready if we're asked to, you know, provide whatever support. And it's encouraging to know that, you know, that what's been said by the committee is no boots on the ground. You know, that helps us to, you know, better serve our country and protect our people. But, you know, there are things that need to be done, and we'll do whatever is asked of us.
I guess, and you're right. You know, the young men and women of this nation are still, they know what they're getting into when they sign up for the National Guard. They have for the last 10 years, and they're still doing it. But we have an incredible high rate of suicide, incredible high rate of divorce. You know, and you know, we've got a lot of post-traumatic going on. Are we ready for another conflict? Are you comfortable that the men and women that you're in charge of are ready for another fight?
When we talk about our soldiers and our airmen and families being ready, you know, I'm confident that we've done everything we can to build that resiliency and that skill level so that they can carry out the mission. But the other part of it is what you alluded to, the after, you know, after deployment, the after effect, the lingering wounds of war. We're doing everything we can, and we'll continue to do not only that, but whatever more is possible to, you know, take care of our people. Suicide is certainly an issue. It's an issue for our country as a whole, but my focus is on our military members, our veterans, and their family members. And we have programs that have been put into place in the last couple of years and that continue to improve, to, you know, to help one another, to, you know, to make sure if there's any sign or indication of potential suicide, that we reach out in whatever way we can to help that person and, you know, literally protect them from harming themselves. And there have been instances where we have been successful at that. And, you know, I encourage all of our people to always, you know, be a battle buddy with your fellow soldier, your fellow airman. And if there's even a hint of a potential suicide, we need to take care of that person, and we'll reach out and do so. So, it's, you know, we'll do what we can to build that resiliency. But the fact is that when our young men and women deploy, there are wounds of war that will linger for years. And even though someone may have gotten out of the military, we're still going to do what we can, given the fact that they're a veteran and are still a member of our National Guard family, as we describe it. We're going to do everything we can to reach out and help them.
I don't doubt that. And I appreciate those efforts. I think they matter a lot. General, thank you to you and your staff for making this interview possible. I think it clears up exactly where North Dakota's position is when it comes to it. And let's just hope it doesn't come to where I'm fearful it may come to when it comes to Syria. Thank you, General Spitznadik.
You're welcome, Joel. And thank you to the people and all across the state of North Dakota for the support of the North Dakota National Guard. It's the best National Guard in the country. And part of it is because of the people that we serve here in the state.
Okay. General David Spitznadik, Adjutant General for the state of North Dakota. You're